The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You know one thing that's fun? Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, by the way. But it is fun at the top of the hour when you hear your own harmonica playing, bringing you back on the top of the hour bumping. Good to be with you, along with Biff Gore, by the way, on guitar, too, and vocals when you listen to the full song. Good to be with you this morning, as always, here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, Denver's local talk leader. And this is a program where when I feel like we really need to drill down into an issue or we need to get into depth on a topic of conversation, that we should do it and we should give ample time to do it, which is why in the next hour I'll be joined in studio for the full hour for another conversation with a candidate. That would be with gubernatorial candidate Heidi Ginnall as we delve into depth on a variety of issues facing the state of Colorado. But this first hour, I want to zero in on education, very specifically, and in particular, on Douglas County schools, especially because in Dougco, there will be ballot measures for a bond to fund new school constructions and a mill levy override, essentially a property tax increase, to provide funding for this Step and Lane compensation plan to make sure that teachers are paid more. Very important ballot initiatives, and it's a good chance, too, to help us understand this convoluted system of how Colorado's public K through 12 education system is funded and financed. So let's dive in to this and more with the superintendent of Douglas County Schools, now almost just about 6 months into the job. Aaron Kane joins me here in studio. Welcome. It's good to have you here.
Good morning, Jimmy. It's great to be here.
Thanks for coming on. So first, before we dive into the bond and the MLO and what those mean and all that stuff, how's it been so far? You're 6 months in just about, and obviously it's been a bit of a roller coaster, but now here we are in your first full school year as superintendent. So how are things going?
It's going really well. Thank you so much for asking. We've had a really great start to our school year. There's a lot of optimism in our district, a lot of joy, and we're really excited to have welcomed all of our kids back and to really be getting into the swing of things. And I have a board that are working together to really come together over what our kids and our school district need. So it's been really great.
So let's get a little bit of a sense for you and who you are. What's your background and what do you bring to the table as a superintendent in Dougco?
Sure. Well, let's see. I'm a Colorado native, so I actually grew up in Littleton. I graduated from Arapaho High School. My degrees are actually in computer science and applied mathematics from the University of Colorado, my bachelor's. So I spent about a decade in the software industry, specifically doing data science. I certainly never expected to be in education, and I still stand around and go, I do what for a living? But in about 2001 or so, the wheels came off at home. We had a third child, and somebody needed to stay home because we had these three little kids. So I stayed home for a short period, and I got it into my head to start a charter school. At the time, I was really passionate. I still am. About STEM and specifically about engineering, and that we really needed to expose kids at an elementary level to STEM. And back then, STEM wasn't even an acronym. And so I started a charter school with a focus on STEM, opened it back in 2005. Today, that charter school has three campuses and serves 3,000 students, all in Douglas County. And in 2016, after the superintendent of Douglas County Schools had resigned, I was asked if I would consider coming in and being interim superintendent. I thought it would be for a short time. It turned out to be for 2 years. And it was just fantastic. I absolutely loved it. I love the people in Douglas County Schools. I love our schools in Douglas County Schools. It was a great privilege to be able to serve in that role for 2 years. I returned to my charter school, and here I am.
And you're not interim this time. You are the superintendent of Douglas County Schools, Aaron Kane, joining us here in studio. And one of the big challenges, of course, that you are facing is that we have just come out of this pandemic, and that included school shutdowns, that included mask policies, that included all sorts of controversial things and things that set back kids across this state pretty dramatically in many respects when it
Absolutely.
Comes to educational outcomes. Catch us up on that for a moment, because I think that really helps us to understand the context in which teachers are working right now that may help to explain why paying them more is essential.
So, you know, the pandemic was really hard. It was really hard on our entire society. It was really hard on our kids, and it was really hard on our educators. Anyone teaching or leading education, no matter where you fell on the issues of masks or keeping schools open or whatever it might be, was just incredibly difficult. It was emotional. We were challenged in ways that we've never been challenged before. Our system was challenged in ways we've never been challenged before. We learned a lot. I think teachers learned a lot and really have improved their practices, but it was just a really hard thing for them to go through. And you're right, our kids across our state and across our country have significant learning gaps and have really suffered from the results of the pandemic. Now, we're really proud in Douglas County. Believe it or not, our state scores exceeded in almost every area our 2019 scores, so our pre-pandemic scores. So our kids grew and improved their achievement over the course of the 2 years of the pandemic, which just says so much about the incredible teachers and staff in Douglas County. It also says a lot about the partnerships between our families and our teachers. And I'm just a big believer that partnering with our families is so critical in order to make sure that we're taking care of our kids and making them have the brightest futures possible. And those partnerships really yielded results in the case of the pandemic. And we could not be more proud of our schools.
So as we look at the environment that teachers are in and providing that quality education, there are so many different challenges because you have these different backgrounds and experiences from the pandemic that children are bringing into the classroom. You have, and in some school districts, I don't know how this has been an issue in Dougco, but there have been disciplinary challenges or difficulties because students were cooped up for so long and then they're put back into the classroom environment. It's very difficult. So when it comes to what teachers have been going through, talk to me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And you're right, because our kids were cooped up or kept home for a couple of years, we have seen developmental delays in terms of behavior and other things. So we have fifth graders that are behaving more like third graders. And so our teachers are really having to deal with a lot of challenges and a lot of unforeseen consequences of the pandemic. And I know in Douglas County, we're doing everything that we can to provide the supports that they need, whether it's around behavior management or mental health, really helping them provide what we need for kids. But it is really, really challenging to be a teacher. It has been challenging as we've gone through the last decade. There are more requirements on teachers. There are more state laws around what teachers need to complete and do that aren't necessarily direct contact with kids. So there's just so much around the profession of teaching, and we're seeing a record number of teachers leave the profession. According to a recent study by the University of Pennsylvania, 44% of new teachers leave the profession within 5 years. It is a really, really challenging job. And we want to make sure, certainly in Douglas County, we want to make sure that we take care of our teachers because they're the ones taking care of our children.
One statistic that I've seen is that in 30 years from 1990, which is the year I was born, through 2020, Colorado's education spending rose 20%, yet teacher pay, on average, declined 20%. I certainly think we owe teachers better than that. But one thing that's striking is when you look at Douglas County compared with other neighboring school districts, Dougco doesn't pay teachers nearly as much as some of its surrounding competing districts.
Yeah, we don't. Our average teacher salary is about $18,000 off of our nearest neighborhood, our nearest neighbor, Cherry Creek School District. And really the reason for that is around funding and then the local mill levy override. Our local mill levy override in Douglas County is about $2,000 per student less than our neighbors in Cherry Creek. When you adjust that for Douglas County's 64,000 students, that's a $124 million gap. Of course, we can't pay our teachers competitively. And it's been really, really challenging. $18,000 is an enormous difference. The average teacher pay in Cherry Creek School District, and again, I'm just picking on them because they are right over the line from us, is about $76,000. The average teacher pay in Douglas County School District is $58,000. That's an $18,000 difference. And teachers are just like us, right? They're raising their families. They're putting kids through college. They're trying to do the best they can for their families and for their futures. And an $18,000 raise is something they can't turn away. How do you say no to that? Even if you love your school and you're dedicated to your community and your kids and your families and your school, it's really, really hard to turn that down, especially when your average is sitting around $58,000 a year.
Again, here in studio, we're talking with Aaron Kane, superintendent of Douglas County Schools. I mean, we're talking about a competitiveness issue here, where if you want to have good teachers in a school district, you have to pay them a competitive rate in order, or have them and keep them. You have to pay them competitively.
Absolutely.
Around. It's just like any other industry
it's
or
profession. It's markets, right? It's markets. It's just like any other industry where you're competing. You have to evaluate who your competitors are and make sure that you can offer something that's going to attract employees to come work for you. And Douglas County is a phenomenal place to work. We have fabulous families. We have wonderful, wonderful schools. I've certainly talked to teachers who they don't want to leave. They love Douglas County. But it's just the difference has become over time so significant that it's really hard for them to turn it away.
Now, the school board recently passed a new compensation package, which teachers have been clamoring for a long time. It's been in the works for a while. They got it done, called Step and Lane, which I'd like you to explain that and also what that means as far as providing additional compensation for educators in the district.
Absolutely. It's just a predictable compensation system for teachers that allows them to be recognized for their college degrees and for their academic credits, allows them to be recognized for their years of service in education as well as in the district. And you're right, when educators in Douglas County were asked for feedback over the last few years and really given an opportunity to say, here's what motivates us, here's what we want in a pay system, that's what they want. As someone who spent an entire decade in a different industry, in a private industry, and, you know, lived in a world where pay was always done based solely on performance. And I hear a lot of people say, well, that's what we should do in education. And in my charter school world, we did a hybrid model where we did have pay for performance. But the thing is, engineers and teachers are very different. And something that I learned as going into a world where I'm managing teachers instead of a world where I was managing engineers, they're very different. What motivates them is very different. And if you want to know what's going to motivate people to be their absolute best, you have to ask them, because we're all different. You have to ask them. And this is what teachers have resoundingly stated that they want in terms of their pay plan. And so this is what the Board of Education passed.
In terms of predictability, I think the reason why that's important is because when you're looking at other school districts that have more predictable pay schedules and so forth, that adds to the competitiveness of a school district, because a teacher can say, okay, I know what I'm going to get, and I know if I meet these certain benchmarks, then I'm going to be able to qualify for additional compensation and so forth.
Absolutely. Yep. It just gives them that. And it gives them a real easy ability to compare with other opportunities. It just gives them that comparability and that predictability. They know every single year that they're going to move up on the pay scale, and they can anticipate, you know, what it's going to look like in 20 or 30 years when they retire, just like we have the ability to do in our world. So it is something that's very important to them and something they've responded really well to.
Again, Aaron Kane, our guest, superintendent of Douglas County Schools, joining us here in studio on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into these two specific issues that are going to be on the ballot and how, gosh, what is the term you were using, math and markets of how school finance works, because mill levy override sounds like some gobbledygook, and you're like, what in the world is that? We'll break that down and explain a little bit about this initiative and how it would impact the school district and so forth as far as being able to pay teachers more. And similarly, when it comes to the bond and building new schools, which we'll talk about this, it's been like since 2009 or 2010.
Correct.
Since Douglas County Schools has
12
last
years
had,
since we built a neighborhood school.
That's
yeah.
astounding when Cherry Creek Schools is probably built 25. I don't know. I'm just throwing that number out there, but it's probably something like that. You're listening to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We'll be right back with more on the other side here on News Talk 710 KNUS. I just had to hear a little Reese Winans on the keys with the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan. The houses are rocking here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Best bumper music known to man, 9 years running on News Talk 710 KNUS. We have in studio for the full hour Aaron Kane, superintendent of the Douglas County School District, and we're talking about a bunch of different issues that are going on in education writ large, and particularly in Douglas County Schools. You will be, if you're a Dougco resident, seeing on your ballot measures to approve a bond and a mill levy override. We'll get into what those technical terms mean here in just a moment. But we were talking in the last segment about the current state of affairs vis-a-vis competitiveness for Douglas County Schools and paying teachers in that regard relative to surrounding districts. You told me $18,000 difference between Dougco teachers and what they're paid and what neighboring Cherry Creek School District teachers are paid. And that's pretty striking, especially when you look, just to put a pin on this point, when you look at affordability, say if you live in Douglas County, you were just talking to me about that.
Absolutely. So we had a principal go do the calculation of if you're making $58,000 a year, how much can you afford in a mortgage payment? And she actually went so far as to do a Zillow search to find a house with a mortgage payment that could be afforded by someone with $58,000 a year. And it wasn't, of course, in Douglas County. And then she calculated how many Cherry Creek schools that teacher would have to drive past. If they bought the closest house they could afford on $58,000, they would have to drive past like three Cherry Creek schools on the way to Douglas County just to be able to get there or to be able to afford to live. So it's really, really hard to afford to live in Douglas County in particular, but really anywhere in the metro area.
Yeah, and if you want good teachers and you live in Douglas County, you want to make sure that they're incentivized to come and work in the school district, that's for sure. So as we talked about in the last segment, there was this new step in lane compensation package that the district put in place. Teachers were clamoring it. They got that from this school board. Now there will be a measure, and I just want to talk with you about some of the technical aspects of this and how it works. There will be a measure for a mill levy override to shore up specifically for this compensation purpose, and we'll get more to that in a moment, but to really shore that up and make sure that it is funded for the long term. So talk to us a little bit about how this aspect of our campaign finance or campaign of our education
Absolutely.
Finance system works. You know, where my head's at in campaign season. Go ahead.
Sure. All right. So the School Finance Act was passed in 1994, and that's the legislation that dictates how public schools are funded in the state of Colorado. And the way the Finance Act works is it specifies a complicated formula, and every district is put through that formula. The state legislature calculates every year the total program funding for each school district based on a whole number of factors. And then that total program funding is set through the long bill. So every year, the state legislature sets Douglas County School District's total program funding. So think of that as our bucket. That bucket is first filled with what we collect in local property taxes. And then the state fills in the difference to get to the top of the bucket. So one of the questions I get asked a lot is, Douglas County is the wealthiest county in the state of Colorado. How is it possible that our schools are struggling? What are you doing with all the money? And the answer is, it doesn't matter. Our total program funding is set by the legislature every year, and again, it's first filled in with property taxes, and the state fills in the difference. So if we're experiencing higher assessed values, growth in Douglas County, et cetera, and we're collecting more in local property taxes, we simply get less from the state. It does not change the size of our funding. So the only way under the law that we can, any of us school districts, can change the size of our total funding is to run a mill levy override in our local community under the auspices of local control. So we are allowed to run a mill levy override for up to 25% additional funding. And so in Douglas County, we currently have a $74 million mill levy override in total. And that's about 12% of our total funding. Our neighboring districts are sitting at, or in some cases above, that 25%. So that's the big disparity in funding. So Douglas County's local mill levy override raises $1,100 per student. Cherry Creek School District's mill levy override raises $3,100 per student. That's a $2,000 per student difference. That's why we can't pay competitively. And that's true as we look at the districts around us like Jefferson County and Littleton Public Schools, DPS, et cetera. So the only way for us to be able to, in your words, shore up that difference is through a local mill levy override. This is not a state funding issue. This really is a local issue. And so the district is running a local mill levy override for $60 million, which would raise $943 additional dollars per student each year. So it doesn't get us, you know, to where Cherry Creek is, but it gets us about halfway, and it gets us a lot closer to where Jefferson County and Littleton Public Schools are. And so the mill levy override, if passed, would result in an average of a 9% increase for our teachers. Every single teacher in our system knows exactly what that increase would look like for them. It would result in a 9% increase for our what we call classified staff in education. It really means support staff. So our custodians, our educational assistants, bus drivers, mechanics, et cetera, across our front office ladies, right, across our system, that would be, and they would receive a 9% raise. And then everyone else in our system, our IT professionals, which we're struggling to keep as well, we're also struggling with principals and assistant principals. Everyone else would receive a 6% increase. So that's all set. The board has already passed a resolution that says this is what the increases would be, and it's an auto trigger. So if the ballot initiative passes, those increases go into effect retroactive to July 1st, 2022. And so that's what that mill levy override would do for our professionals in Douglas County School District, 6,000 of which actually live in Douglas County. And that would, they would be able to stay. They'd be able to stay with us and not have these giant changes between us and our local competitors.
Now, one of the things that folks often talk about, and I've addressed this for the education system at large, and that is this notion of administrative overhead.
Absolutely.
And that there's concern about that. Can you talk a little bit about this? Because you will hear folks say, okay, what we should do, and I think in a lot of cases this is true, where you can reallocate funds to an extent and move and cut certain budgets in order to pay teachers more and what have you. But that in a district like Douglas County, it sounds like that's you're pretty tight as it is in that regard.
We sure are, and you're absolutely right. As a taxpayer, that would be my first question. What can you do? How can you make things more efficient? How can you cut overhead to make sure you're getting as much money as you can into your classrooms and into your teachers? In Douglas County, when I served as interim superintendent from 2016 to 2018, we cut $24 million from central administration in ongoing costs and really were able to move that into our classrooms. Those cuts were not restored. And in fact, additional cuts had to be made during the pandemic. We have an incredibly skinny central administration and administration in general in Douglas County. So if you look at our total revenue, 85% of our total revenue goes to our people, so to salary and benefits. And of that bucket, of all of our 85% that we spend on salary and benefits, only 1% of that goes to central administrators and central administration, whether it's, superintendent and cabinet, IT professionals, HR professionals. It's 1% of our total expenditures on people. And 4% of our total expenditures on people go to school administration and principals and assistant principals. Everything else goes to teachers, support staff, all the people that are needed to make the magic happen for our kids every single day. And I'll just give you one other example. Our human resources department, as an example of central overhead, right? Our human resources department has 23 professionals to serve the needs of our 8,600 employees. The industry standard is one human resources professional for every 50 employees. Our ratio is one for 370 employees. Wow. And our neighboring districts have in the neighborhood of one to 100 or one to 200. So we are significantly tighter and more efficient all around than those that surround us, and certainly than private industry, at least and certainly in my experience.
Douglas County Schools Superintendent Aaron Kane joining us here in studio. And from your explanations here, and also from the fact, and we were talking about this during the break, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, teachers only work 9 months and they have 3 months off when you add up the summer and you add up Christmas time and, all these different breaks that they have. So, who cares about that? It's okay. They've got all these breaks. But, as an educator, you're going home. You've got you're a middle school teacher and you have 160 five paragraph essays that you have to edit and review. Like, there is a lot of work that goes on. You got kids, you got all these different things.
So much
that you may be dealing with at home, et cetera. And so there is a big burden. And having run, as I've talked about with listeners before, Liberty Day Institute in the past, educating kids about the Constitution, I've been in dozens of fifth grade classes from all different demographic backgrounds, and seeing what teachers are doing and what they're going through and the different environments that they've got and so forth. It is not easy to be an educator. So that is why, and I know you can't editorialize on this, but for all these things, I'm not a Douglas County resident. I do have family who are, but I would, if I was a Douglas County resident, vote for the mill levy override, because I think it is essential for Douglas County schools to get competitive with neighboring school districts. And I have never voted for a tax increase in my life, but I would do it if I were in there. And it's not like it's significant.
Well, I think it's also important to point out that we've got conflating factors here, right? So we have this inability to compete because of funding. But if you conflate that with the nationwide teacher shortage, that's a real challenge. So if we do lose someone to a neighboring district for $20,000 a year, we don't have applicants to replace them. We used to have 300 applicants for every open position that we have, and now we have three if we're lucky. And in fact, a recent study out of the National Department of Education shows that 35% fewer teachers are in the pipeline. And we've seen that right here from UNC. Yeah. We've seen how few teachers are in the pipeline. And certainly if you want to talk about subjects like secondary science, secondary math, special education, we are not seeing teachers come out of the pipeline the way that we used to. So it is even more critical to hold on to the amazing experienced people that we have serving our kids.
Let's talk about another aspect here, because we're starting to get a little low on time here. Our guest, Superintendent of Douglas County Schools, Aaron Kane, will also have on the ballot for Dougco voters a measure to approve a bond for new school construction. Now, there are going to be some who will say, we have some schools that are in Douglas County Schools who have too few students who are there in certain areas of the district. So, and you've got charter schools, we can talk about that here in a moment. But why do we need new schools built in Douglas County schools when you have existing ones that have capacity? And you also got nearby listener texting in a question, nearby Jeffco schools that are declined in some capacity.
Absolutely. So let me take that a little bit at a time. Under that 1994 School Finance Act, it's contemplated that the responsibility for building and maintaining schools is the responsibility of the local community, in the same way that we are responsible for building and maintaining our libraries, building and maintaining our civic centers, our courthouses. It's all the local community's responsibility, and it's no different for schools. Douglas County is 844 square miles. That makes us two-thirds the size of Rhode Island. It's a very, very large district containing lots of different communities. So you're right. We do have some areas in our district that are aging out where we have some small schools. Unfortunately, I cannot pick up a small school from Highlands Ranch and move it 15 miles south and plop it into Crystal Valley and Castle Rock. We have areas of tremendous growth in Douglas County. Sterling Ranch is supposed to be, I believe, half the size of Highlands Ranch. Can you imagine? It's supposed to have an entire feeder area. The Canyons, which is just east of I-25 at Castle Pines Parkway, is also supposed to be an entire feeder area. It is so large. Crystal Valley and Castle Rock. And we've seen explosive growth in those three areas over the last 5 or 6 years or so. And as we look forward, we know that those areas will be overwhelming the schools around them. And we have to bus those kids to get them to a neighborhood school, since those communities do not have neighborhood schools. So there is a need for neighborhood schools in our newer communities. And there's also a need for us to address decline in our areas where we are declining. We have to address both. We can't just address one. So the bond initiative that the district has put on the ballot in part would cover new construction of three elementary schools, the ones I just mentioned, expansion of two middle schools, because that's more fiscally responsible than building two more additional elementary schools. So we can expand two middle schools and build three new elementary schools to accommodate the significant growth in those growth areas. But it also covers a whole number of other things, too. We have to maintain the 111 buildings that we already have. Most of those are schools. That includes neighborhood schools and charter schools. It takes $35 million a year to maintain 111 facilities and capital maintenance, roofs, carpets, heating and cooling, that kind of thing. So we have to be able to do that maintenance for the next 3.5 years, as well as accommodate that growth. The bond would include safety and security upgrades. We're constantly moving and evolving based on what we've learned and making sure that our buildings are as physically safe as possible. It also includes student programming updates so that we can offer more career and technical education pathways, such as aviation, advanced robotics, advanced manufacturing, a certified nursing assistant, EMT, EMS. So it will allow us to offer more opportunities to students. So those are kind of the general areas covered by the bond.
It is shocking. I know a neighborhood in the Cherry Creek School District that had a brand new school just opened, just like down the street from another school. Both are elementary schools. And that's Cherry Creek Schools, because the district has, folks in the district have said, we're going to vote for whatever you need. And I, by the way, that's something that I have rejected as a resident in the Cherry Creek School District. I've rejected those proposals in the past because I don't think they deserve them and should have them in Cherry Creek Schools, in my view. But you're looking at the competitive environment, and it is shocking when you think about, say, folks living in the Canyons down in Castle Pines who have to go a long distance, long drive on a bus. I mean, how, half an hour bus ride maybe to get to the nearest school?
Depends on how many stops, but they have to go to the other side of the highway. It's a distance. And I know when I moved, I've been in Douglas County for 22 years. And when we moved there as a young family, I had one baby on my hip, right? Moved into our little neighborhood in Douglas County. It was completely my expectations that schools would be built in my community for my kids. And sure enough, they were. Between 1984 and 2006, Douglas County passed a bond for the school district on average every 3.5 years. That's why we have schools. That's where the money came from in the first place for schools. And we need to be able to continue not only to build schools, but we need to be able to upgrade our schools and make sure that they're the best places for kids to go to school.
I think my sister and her husband, when they moved into their house in the southern part of Douglas County, they were told something to the effect of, yeah, you're going to be getting a school. But that depends.
Yeah.
That really depends on what ends up happening. 100%
depends
here.
On a bond. It yeah. always depends on a
That's
bond.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is striking to just think about the comparison and the long distances. And you're talking about little kids in many instances. I mean, it is astounding. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get to the real specific nitty gritty, the math and markets. What the impact of this bond and MLO would be in terms of taxes and borrowing for residents in Douglas County. And I hope folks are learning a lot about how the school system works and is financed. It's a dense topic. We're covering a lot of ground over the airwaves, but you got to do it sometimes. And I appreciate our guest, Aaron Kane, Superintendent of Douglas County Schools, joining us here in studio for the full hour. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. You're listening to News Talk 710 KNUS. I would love to hear a little more Albert Cummings, but we are tight on this segment before we run to the break, and I'm going to see him live tonight. Jimmy Sangenberger back with you. Heidi Ganahl warming up in a bullpen, top of the hour here in studio, but here in studio for this hour, we have the superintendent of Douglas County Schools, Aaron Kane, and we've been talking in the last segment in particular about the bond for new school construction that will be on the ballot in Douglas County and the mill levy override, the property tax increase in essence for paying teachers. That's how the School Finance Act works. If you missed our earlier conversation and you want to catch up on it, the podcast will be up shortly after the top of the hour and you can go back and listen to it. But I want to get to this one question that I teased before the break. What is the actual cost of the bond and MLO, if approved, on folks in Dougco?
Absolutely. So the mill levy override would cost $1 per week per $100,000 in home value. So if you have a $500,000 home in Douglas County, the impact on your family would be $5 a week or $255 a year. And it's really important for me to say that the mill levy override is a fixed dollar amount. So that means that when assessed values go up, which they are absolutely going to do, this impact will not change. In fact, it will decrease because it is if when you have a fixed dollar amount spread over more people, each person is going to be paying less for that dollar amount. So that $255 a year for what is currently a $500,000 house, even when that house becomes an $800,000 house, the impact still wouldn't be any more than $255 a year.
Real quick, just a quick question on that. Can the board change their mind and allocate that funding to something else?
On the mill levy override, because they have created that resolution that is an auto trigger, there is no additional board vote for how the mill levy override money is spent. So as soon as the if the ballot initiative passes, the compensation changes would be made. So there's no additional board vote.
Now on the bond.
On the bond side, so a bond is a big loan, right? A bond means that we're asking taxpayers, can we take out debt on your behalf and the taxpayers pay the mortgage payment through their taxes? Like any mortgage payment, over the years, mortgage payments get refinanced, consolidated, et cetera. We are due to have a step down in our current mortgage payment. And the $450 million bond proposal would fill in that step down. So there actually won't be a change to the mills that taxpayers are paying for debt for Douglas County Schools right now. There would be no change. So the $450 million bond would be no change to how much taxes you're paying for a bond right now. Now, it is I also need to say that if the bond should not pass, there will be a small tax decrease because that payment is about to step down.
So, but in order to get those new schools constructed, that funding will need to come from approving a new bond.
Absolutely. And truly, when I said between 1984 and 2006, we passed a bond every 3.5 years in Douglas County, it was because of this step down phenomena. So the taxes, the amount of taxes being paid for a bond generally did not change, but a new bond was able to come in every 3.5 years so that the district could afford to build schools.
My overall assessment is, number one, these are essential provisions of new funding to be able to build new schools and pay teachers competitively relative to other districts. Number two, you're not going to get it any other way. Number three, you have someone at the helm in Superintendent Eric Kane, who clearly understands the math and markets of all of this. And I appreciate you joining us here on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You do need someone at the helm when you're talking about money like that who can do the job well. I think you got it there in Doug Coe. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. Heidi Ganahl up next. Stay with us.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.